This is David Felker, the Minister of Discipleship at First Presbyterian Church in Jackson, and welcome again to our podcast series, Stories of Faithfulness. I grew up in a home that read the Chronicles of Narnia. This was the bedtime routine for many years, and I loved the stories, but not like my mom. My mom was hooked, and her favorite part was in the silver chair. And in 2013, when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, she wrote about this scene in her first Caring Bridge post. And it's a scene where Aslan, the Christ figure, charges Jill, a young girl, to remember. Remember the crucial signs that will guide her when she is no longer on the mountain, when she is on a seemingly impossible quest. If she will cling to the signs that Aslan gave her, she will most certainly find her way. And Aslan says this, "Stand still, remember, remember, remember the signs. Say them to yourself when you wake in the morning and when you lie down at night and when you wake in the middle of the night. And whatever strange thing may happen to you, let nothing turn your mind from following the signs. Here on the mountain, I have spoken to you clearly, but I will often not do so down in Narnia. Here on the mountain, the air is clear and your mind is clear, but as you drop down into Narnia, the air will thicken. So take great care that it does not confuse your mind, and the signs which you have learned here will not look at all as you expect them to look when you meet them there. That is why it is so important to know them by heart, to pay no attention to appearances, and to remember to remember." And I think about that a lot, because for you and me, it may be a long and dark night, and no one knows how long the night will be, but morning is going to come, and with it, rejoicing. But until then, the promises of God, or as Aslan calls them, the signs, they never change. And so as the air thickens, remember, 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 as Aslan says. And so that is why we're doing this podcast. And this week we have Timmy Smith, and I can't wait for you to hear his story. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Timothy Smith. I'm married to my better half, Leslie Smith, and I have children, Luke and Sydney. David has asked me to share maybe our story of faithfulness. I think like many of you, we have so many things to be thankful for in so many different areas of our lives, and frequently it's not because we are necessarily faithful, but because God sees through our mess and finds a way to pull us through this life, and hopefully at some point in there we reflect His glory on others. And so it's a privilege to be able to talk with you guys today. And so the story of faithfulness that I felt moved to share with you is actually not even necessarily my own story. It's just a part of our lives that we've been able to be privy to, that has been a blessing for us, that has certainly helped us in ways that I don't know that we'll comprehend in this life. But it's a story I've shared in a few Sunday school classes at First Pres, and it's the story of my great uncle by marriage. It was a guy named Johnny Dynas. My Uncle Johnny was a son of Greek immigrants. He was the student body president at Mississippi State. He was an officer in the Army in World War II. Was mortally wounded in northern Italy. As a result, he received a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star for valor. Just prior to college, at the age of 18, he professed faith in Christ, but it wasn't until being led his last rites on a battlefield in northern Italy that he really truly committed himself to God, and he dedicated the remainder of his life, which ended this past fall in October, to serving God. And upon leaving the military, he went to Duke Divinity School, ironically for our family, and I think kind of God's sense of humor. His first assignment as a minister, a Methodist minister, was to Coffeyville United Methodist Church in Coffeyville, Mississippi, which as a Grenada boy, I would say is a suburb of Grenada. If you're from Oxford, you might say it's a suburb of Oxford now. But anyway, a little small Methodist church. His first sermon that he preached, a young man walked the aisle to give his life to Christ. That young man is a fellow named Ed Woodall, who just so happened to be my wife and her twin sister's pastor in college, and helped preside over our wedding, which is just amazingly ironic, I think, and certainly in knowing that we worship a sovereign God, something that God maybe chuckled about. So my Uncle Johnny was a man that he lived by prayer. If you saw him in Walmart in Grenada, there was a very good chance that you were going to have some very loud corporate prayer in the aisle. He was a guy that when he showed up at the house, you had corporate prayer when he showed up and when he left. He was a fellow that took meticulous notes. If you ever met you, he immediately, as soon as he got home, he wrote down everything that he learned about you and about your family, and would study those, particularly if he felt like he might have the opportunity to see you again. He would be able to speak intelligently about you. He was interested in people, and more importantly, he was interested in people's souls. He, as it would be the case, being the minister in our family, presided over virtually every wedding and funeral that occurred in my family over the last 50 to 60 years, including his wife's funeral, and also all of his wife's siblings. And so he was an amazing man. On October the 21st of 2008, he presided over the funeral of his sister-in-law, one of his sister-in-laws. And the title of his sermon, which has been something that these notes have been affixed to our refrigerator since that time, and something that has really helped my family on a personal level through a lot of things in the last 11 years. He had a 5-point sermon called Five Reasons to Smile. I'll go through those points very quickly, and I hope that they provide some encouragement, particularly in this time of confusion and frustration in view of this virus. But the first point is that God is everywhere. He cited Proverbs 15:3, which says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." He also cited Jeremiah 23:24, and it says, "Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" I think it's important to know that even if you're alone at home and isolated from your friends and from your family and from your fellow church members, it certainly is a time of great sadness and loneliness and confusion, but it's important for us to remember that God is, He is everywhere. The second point and the second reason to smile is by and through Jesus, your sins are forgiven. And for that point, he cited 1 John 2, verses 1 through 2. And it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also the sins of the whole world." So I think it's something that I certainly take for granted, as sinful as I am, that my sins are forgiven. And so in times like these, when it is easy to feel down and to feel lonely and to feel depressed and to wallow in even sin, it's great comfort that those sins were forgiven through the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. The third point, the third reason to smile, is that there are two people praying for you at all times. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are, for we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us. And then in Hebrews 7:25 it says, Jesus is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. And then Romans 8:34 says, it is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That is just mind-blowing to me, and something that I have to, unfortunately, constantly remind myself of, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they know me personally. They know you personally. You as your individual self, not us globally, generally speaking, but us individually. And not only do they know who you are, they are interceding for you as an individual right now, as a believer, as a Christian. That is just a mind-blowing thought, and one of great comfort for me and in my family, and something that we try to be mindful of, even though our minds are frequently pulled in different directions through the stress of this life and the sinful temptations of this life. It is amazing to think that we have the God of the universe that created us. You have Christ and the Holy Spirit that are interceding for us, and that is just an amazing thing to me. The fourth point, and the fourth reason to smile, there's no reason to be anxious because it's all taken care of. Of course, Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think we're anxious when we're not patient. We are not patient because we lack faith. And frankly, lacking faith as a Christian is sinful. And so, but the inverse of that is that there's no reason to be anxious. There quite simply is no reason to be anxious. God has this under control. He has this pandemic under control. He has the order of our lives in the palm of his hand. There's no reason to be anxious. We should fight off those temptations as easily presentable as they are to us. I feel silly even saying it, because I live a life of anxiety in many respects. But I know in my heart, because I believe God's word and I've experienced the comfort in my life, that there's really no reason to be anxious. It's okay. And it's going to be okay. And finally, the last point in this sermon that, again, was preached by my great uncle by marriage, in his sister-in-law's funeral, a little over 11 years ago. And it's five reasons to smile. The fifth point is you have an eternity in heaven ahead. And he cited 1 John 5:11, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, that he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of the death into life. And finally, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know that in this world we're going to encounter toils and trouble. That's as present right now, perhaps, as any time in recent memory. But this is all going to end. And it's going to end for believers and an eternity in heaven with the God that we love, the God that created us, the God that loved us so that we can love him first, or love him, love him. He loved us first so we can love him. It all comes from him, and it all ends with Him. And we have eternity in heaven to look forward to. And so, in the grand scheme of things, this life is going to be just a blink of the eye. It's a vapor. We have eternity for Christians. You have eternity in heaven to look forward to. And if that's not a reason to smile, I don't know what is. And so, I think that my bit of encouragement, if I may, is that, you know, we look at these 5 points. We know that God is everywhere. That we know that through Jesus our sins are forgiven. We know that God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, there is intercession for us as individuals. We know that we shouldn't be anxious. It's all taken care of, and we know that we have heaven, an eternity in heaven ahead of us. Those are reasons to be happy, even in these weird times where we don't know what's around the bend, where we don't know perhaps if our jobs are stable or how we're going to pay our bills, or we don't know if we're going to become sick with a disease that is not understood. Even at the end of that, for a believer, there's nothing that can take away the fact that you have an eternity in heaven in front of you. And for that reason, there's no reason to be anxious. It's all good. It's all taken care of. And so I appreciate you guys letting me share a little bit of what we were blessed to have as a part of our life through my Uncle Johnny. And so I pray for you guys and look forward to worshiping with you again soon in corporate worship in our church. Thank you.